I've been looking at what we're going to do today to finish up, but it's kind of a sad thing, isn't it? It's our last Sunday school class for the fruit of the Spirit, and then I think next week we got something new for another teacher, but it's always good to hear different teachers give God's Word or teach God's Word. As I was getting ready this morning, before we get into our lesson, I was listening. Anybody heard of David Phelps? I'm sure you have, right? Amen. David Phelps. He was with the Gaithers, and just a great singer, powerful voice. And I was talking to Miss Tyner before service, but I was getting ready listening to the hymn, He Lives. And that's kind of what we've been looking at, isn't it? In a way, we've been looking at, listen to what it says. I'll just read the stanza there. He lives, Christ lives today. He walks with me. And he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the Holy Spirit living in us. And he walks and talks with me. Well, that's walking in the fruit of the Spirit. That's walking in the Spirit. That's what we've been talking about. So I thought that was just God doing a great work this morning as I was getting ready. And praising the Lord, it's Sunday. Sunday where I can come get refreshed, come with the brothers and sisters and fellowship and learn from them and see people get saved. And man, there's all kinds of good things that happen on Sunday too, isn't there? So amen. So Love Speaks Ministry. We're doing a great job on that for Melanie. I just want to promote that one more time again. This is what, May 23rd. I think we got like 25 boxes of toothpaste and toothbrushes, and we're well on our way. So by the end of the month, we're going to hit 200. Amen? That's God's plan. That's what our goal is. That's what God gave on her heart. So we'll get there. But amen. So thank you for giving and believing in that and believing that ministry there. I got papers everywhere, and I don't know what to do with them all, but I'll get there. Let's get rid of this one. And my clicker's here. We got to have my clicker, right? Amen. Is everybody awake this morning? Say amen if you're awake. There we go. Amen. Well, I just got to say, I've had a wonderful time teaching this class. I'm just thankful that Pastor gave me the opportunity to. That's one of the callings I believe God's put on my life is to teach, and I'm thankful for that. You know, because before I got saved, I've told you throughout the series, before I got saved, I didn't like talking to people. I didn't want to get in front of people, and God changed all that. God can do that, can't he? He can change all that. So I'm thankful that he did. I'm thankful that God changes our heart and makes us loving people, really. All right, so Galatians 5, 16 through 25, we're going to look at the whole thing today, and then we're going to recap, and then I'm going to give you a conclusion how we can take all of these lessons that we've learned, all these fruits, apply them to one fruit, because it is not plural when Paul talks about it. It's one, because they all become one. And we're going to take all that and put it together that you can go out and live that Christian life, that abundant Christian life that God's called us to do and to live. So let's pray, and then we'll go right into it. Heavenly Father, we come humbly before you, Father. That's not me speaking, it's you, Father. I've studied, prepared my mind. I've cleansed myself of the outside world. I've gotten myself ready, prepared, that the Holy Spirit might use me, overflow through me, that it will reach the people here, that I can teach clearly for you and to the audience that's listening online. There's many that have come online. Father, I just believe in my heart. They stroll through and they find Independent Baptist Church, and I'm going to watch this today. And if that's the case, Father, I pray that it can be a blessing to them as well. And that one day they'll come visit us and see what it's all about here on campus. Father, just give us the time that we have, a blessed time, Father. Just bless the people that are here. May our minds be ready to hear from you in Jesus' name. Amen. I passed these out today. I thought for the last lesson I would give you a little bookmark to remind you of all the fruit of the Spirit. So I hope you got one of those. If not, I got plenty more. But I thought that was pretty neat we could do that. You probably have them all memorized by now, right? Well, you should. Amen. All right. Galatians 5, verse 16 says, This I say then, this is Paul speaking, after he's already given some other instruction. He says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But, I like that word but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, they're made evident, and that's these, which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. So there's so much more he could have put there. Of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which told that... As I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, I love this part, joy is joy, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen. So to finish up the series of the fruit of the Spirit, I'd like to do a recap of the nine fruits and definitions and finish with how we can be sure to have them manifested. Remember what manifest means, right? It means made evident in our lives. Made evident in our lives. Manifest in our lives. Those fruits. They got to be cultivated. They're there. They just got to be cultivated. They got to be used and worked out of us. And it's not our doing. We don't have to generate a whole bunch of power. Oh, I wish I could do love. I wish I could do... No, it's the Holy Spirit does it in. All you got to do is submit. Be submissive to Him. And so... Uh-oh. I'm not clicking. The clicker is on. I think I have a dead battery. I have a battery here. You want me to change the battery? All right, give me a minute. So we're gonna do me a favor. Look at the last page because that's where we're gonna be at anyway. Oh no, I have big batteries up here. Sorry. You're gonna get it? Okay. We'll set this all aside. Don't make things complicated, right? One preacher told me that the devil fell into the sound system. I think he fell into this stuff too. He fell. Anyway, all right, so let's go to the next one. And that... So love. The first one was love, right? Amen? So before we get there, let me say this. First and foremost, that I believe this. I believe... As I've said every week, I think you're probably getting tired of me saying it. You must be saved, right? You must be saved to have the benefits of the fruit of the Spirit, right? So you must be saved. So if you're online, if you never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you're in the room today and you've been in church many times in your life and you never asked Jesus to be your Savior, then that's the first thing, the first step. Accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Salvation is a free gift, right? To all who come to repentance of their sins and ask Jesus to be their Savior of their lives. That's what I had to do. That's what you had to do. And so then at that moment, the power of the Holy Spirit comes in you. The Holy Spirit comes in you. The power is there. The fruits are there. Everything's there. We just have to cultivate. We have to use them, right? So if you can't remember a time that you've done that in your life, or you have been trying for years to keep up with being good, a good Christian, it's time for you to let go and let God. At that very moment, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will come in and dwell in you. You know, and I've gave you that my testimony for years of my life. I wasted thinking that I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I went and got baptized and everything, but I didn't know what I was doing. I was just repeating that to my Sunday school teacher. And that's not getting you saved. That's just repeat, right? Getting saved is believing in your mind, your heart, believing that you know that Jesus died for you, that you have sinned, that you had to repent of, right? And so salvation is so important. I want you to know that, and I want the people online to know It's so important that you have to be saved to have these fruits of the Spirit. Oh, that ain't working. I can do it this way, right? There we go. So let's look at them together. Remember the first three, transforming, inner being, transformation. That's the inner being. That's what God does first, right? He changes the inside. You clean up the outside. What is it? It's just clean on the outside, but the inside's still going to come out, right? And make it dirty. So you got to clean the inside, and that's what God did first. So those first three, love, the willing sacrificial giving of oneself to the benefit of others without any thought of return. And we love talking about that, but that's the first thing. You got to have love first, right? And then joy. Joy is a cheerful, calm delight in all life circumstances. And then peace, to be safe from harm in spirit, mind, and body. The next one, conforming. Conforming, now that the inside is transformed, now we can conform the outside, right? And that's the outer being, confirmation. Confirmation. Love, long-suffering. Long-suffering would be an enduring temperament that expresses itself in patience with the shortcomings of others. Amen to that one. Gentleness. Gentleness is softness in manners. Goodness, conforming our lives and conversations to behave benevolently toward others. And if I pause on any of these, it's because I'm being convicted. Amen. The last three that we've looked at, and we finished last week on temperance, reforming. So now we're inside, we're conformed, or transformed to be conformed. Now we're reformed. Praise the Lord. So faith, and those yellows didn't show up well on the screen over here. But anyway, faith, a personal measurement of the level of confidence in what Christ has done and will do in, through, and for us. Man, praise the Lord for that. But that's a level. Remember, that's a level. Faith is a level. How much faith do you have? Do you have faith that God's going to take care of us? I have faith that even in the turmoil with Israel and the Gaza, right? And now it's settled. But that just means God's not done with us yet. We still have work to do. Because Israel's not going to get destroyed, right? God's going to come back. So praise the Lord for that. But he's not done. We've got work to do. So that's been settled. But I had faith that either way, we're still going to heaven. Amen? And we could say that with the virus or anything. Meekness, the ability for God's people, that's us, to negotiate among others without causing friction. That's that lubricant. Remember that lubricant? Amen. And then temperance, spirit controlled in all life's pleasures. And that was a hard one for me, I told you last week, because it's been taught my life all the time that it's self-control, and it can't be self-control. We cannot be self-controlled. We have to be spirit controlled. And so it's very important to know that. And I love that. That God controls my life as long as I let Him. And I pray that He'll do that for me. Now let's tie all this together. Let's take all this that we've just seen and put it all together. There's something very interesting and worth looking at again that Paul writes before and after the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit that will bring this entire study of the abundant Christian life together quite nicely. Now, remember what I just said there? Did you hear what I said? Abundant Christian life. If you're living the redundant Christian life, you're just miserable all the time, and you're not happy about anything, and grumpily grumps, and, you know, hump the grump, they call them, right? If you're all like that and you say you're a Christian, that's not what God intended. God said, I want you to live an abundant Christian life. Abundant means a joyful, outspoken, great, exciting life. It's exciting to come in here and sing the songs of faith and to hear Pastor preach. Even though he steps on our toes, we still hear it. We love it, right? Because it molds us. It breaks us and molds us. And that's what's important. We go out in the world. It's exciting to tell others that what Christ did for me, He changed my life. He can do the same for you. It's exciting. It's an exciting life. And I told you last week, before I got saved, I thought they're all crazy people. And men were all weak because they're Christians. But when I got saved, I realized that wasn't the case at all. And so praise the Lord that He does that. So look at verse 16. Verse 16 again says this. Paul says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So he's saying here to us again, And remember, I'm repeating myself again. Walk in the Spirit is taking repeated steps every single moment of the day in Christ. Every decision you make, everything that you do, you're going to take repeated steps in Christ. God, is this where you want me to go? God, should I be doing this? God, should I give toward this? Should I work this way? God, what should I be talking about? You know, it's always about what God wants in our lives. So repeated steps. Paul said, just take them repeated steps. And then he says, and concerning the fruit of the Spirit, verse 23 says, against such there is no law. Remember what I've been trying to say to you. To be Spirit-led believers, we must take repeated steps in the Spirit. Yes, we're going to occasionally reject or overlook the Spirit's leading and even fulfill one of the lusts of the flesh. Hopefully we won't, but you know, we're sinners saved by grace. So, you know, sometimes we fall, right? And yes, of course we will. And we're not, because why? Because we're not home yet. We're not in heaven yet. We're still in this earthly body and we're still here on earth. And there's temptations that come our way and this all kinds of stuff coming our way. And man, it is tough. And so we're not home yet. Sinners we're saved by God's amazing grace. What the Apostle Paul is saying is we will never, ever need a law of God or man to get back in line with God. The God who saved us, the God who saved you, and the God who saved or changes you and me is also the God who keeps us. He keeps us. He is able to keep us from falling. That's if we'll let him. Are you willing to let God to keep you from falling? Are you willing to let God, when you fall, to pick you back up? Or are you just going to stay down and say, ah, Satan got me. I'm just going to live my Christian life until I go home, until I get to heaven. Maybe I'll get to heaven. I don't know. Are you going to be that kind of Christian? Or are you going to be a Christian that says, God, pick me back up. I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven, and I need you to take me again. Pick me up and go again. So what Paul is saying, paraphrase, is this. If you will simply abide in Christ, God will do all the work for you. Amen. We don't have to do any work. God does it for us. We're just dead bodies being transformed, made alive by Christ, and moved around by Christ. Praise the Lord for that. One final thought concerning the nine fruits of the Spirit. Oops. I want you to see this here. That's like a kid picture, but it's cool. The Old Testament and the Law of Moses were summed up by two basic commandments, weren't they? To love God and love others. My Bible says this, all the law and commandments hung on these two commandments, which were to what? Love. To love. May I suggest to you this morning that it's quite probable that with the elimination of the law, where man did all the work, and the implementation of Christ's grace, where Christ does all the work, that all the fruits that permit us to live without the law are equally predicate and hung on this one fruit that we talked about, love. That one fruit, the first fruit. All these fruits that we talked about, where are they coming from? They're coming from one, the love. You can't do any of those fruits without love, and you know it. And I know it, because I've tried before. I try to generate some of them. So in closing, I'd like to share with you how to develop your inner man. What's the inner man? Anybody remember? Inner man. Somebody. Inner man. Holy Spirit. The inner man is our Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit living in us. Holy Spirit. So the inner man to the position where you're abiding in Christ, that's in Christ, effectively enough to act and respond under the influence of these nine fruits of the Spirit. But first, this is where I look at it. I don't know if this goes with it or not, but God put it on my heart, so it must be something that we need, right? But this is the way I look at it. I wake up in the morning, and I want to put on the whole armor of God. I want to be ready with the whole armor of God. How can we live our Christian life without the armor of God? He gave it to us for a reason, and we need it, right? So the whole armor of God, found in Ephesians. Let's flip over there. Ephesians 6. Verse 13. I'm going to read that for you. If you have your Bibles, you can read with me. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. See, he wants us to put it on in the morning. He just said it right there. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, And then verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. Wherefore ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation. What is that? Trust in Christ, right? Amen. Taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, the Bible, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching therefore thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And so, first thing we got to do, and I know we're talking about fruit of the Spirit, but this is important. First in the morning, put the whole armor of God on, right? Be prepared. Get ready. Get ready for the battle of the day, because it's going to be a battle, isn't it? I mean, if you stay in the church building, it's not going to be so bad. You come to church every day and hang out with the pastor, it'd probably be all right, right? No, but going into the world, going into the grocery store, going fighting the traffic or whatever, it's going to be a battle, he says. So, with that said, let's go. And then would suggest the following. So now we're going to look at the commitments on our part, on your part, and let God do the rest in our lives. So the first one we see is this. So the conclusion is this. First thing we got to do, after we got the armor of God on, right? First thing we got to do, pray that God, and you can fill in the blank here, pray that God will allow you to yield. Boy, that's a big word. Yield to the inner man, the Holy Spirit, allowing God's light to shine through that hole in your soul. Remember we talked about that hole in your soul. We got a hole blown in our soul by the Holy Spirit, and that light of the Holy Spirit is going to shine through to others. So the first thing we got to do is that. The second thing in our conclusion. Second part is this. Did I do that backwards? I did. I'm sorry. So the first one was pray every day that God will allow circumstances in your life that will break your outer man. Well, that's important, right? You guys should have told me that. You said, come on, this is Sunday school class, right? You can feedback to me, right? Is that okay, Pastor? Amen. We got to break that outer man. How can we yield to the inner man if we don't break the outer man? Right? So we got to ask God to do it. Pray and ask God, break the outer man that we can be ready for the inner man to talk with us and walk with us. So then pray that, and here it is, pray that God will allow you to yield to the inner man, allowing God's light to shine through that hole in your soul. And if you're filling in, I'm not going too fast, right? You're with me? Okay. I don't want to go too fast. And then the next part, after you've done those two, the third part is this. Let every heart prepare. Amen. Cultivate a heart for knowing God by developing your relationship. Not your religion, your relationship with Him early every day. So what have we done so far? We put the whole armor of God on, right? We prayed and asked for the outer man to be broke, for the inner man to yield to the inner man to do his work, to cultivate a relationship with Him. I want a good relationship with the Holy, with God. And that happens through the Holy Spirit, by the way. I know you all know that, right? You're scholars here. You know that. We got to have that relationship. And when I was growing up, I was taught it's religion, it's religion, it's religion. It's not. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with God. That's what changed my whole life, the relationship with Him. A lot of people have religion. Not everybody have a relationship. All right? So the next one. When you become aware of someone with a need, ask the Spirit how you should respond. How should I respond to that need, God? Holy Spirit, show me how I should respond. That homeless man that needs something, how do I respond? Do I say, God bless you, and walk away? Do I give him something? Do I go into the grocery store and buy him some chicken? Fried chicken? No. What do I do, Holy Spirit? Respond. If you're led to give, always respond with the fruit of the Spirit, love. Give of yourselves willingly without any thought of return. Don't expect something back from that person. Give without a thought of return. Give in love. Well, I'm just going to go and buy him a little what do they call them? Lunchable. Let me go and buy him a little Lunchable. This guy hasn't ate maybe, or this lady hasn't ate for days, and you're going to give him a little Lunchable? Is that love? Is that God's love? No, get him a meal. Get him something that's going to sustain him. That's what you do for yourself. And so that's what God wants. And then finally, the last one. If you will yield to love, remember that's the first one, yield to love, then more often than not, the other fruits will fall in line and become easier to yield to as well. Why is this? Man, I'm finishing early. I don't like finishing early, but that's all right. Why is this? Why is becoming all the other fruits become easier when you love? Because God said this. The Bible tells us many times through the Bible, it says, the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. I pray that this series has helped you. You know, every week, I just was burdened. Every week as I studied, prepared, I thought about you. I thought about people online. I thought about who can I affect with this, God? I'm just a man. I'm just an unworthy man being used by you. How can I be an effective person? I can't, but he can through me. If I'll clean myself and I'll study and I'll get myself prepared, that you'll benefit from it. And I pray that you have. I gave you the little things there, and on the back page, you can take that off and maybe stick it on the refrigerator or something or somewhere that will remind you of those definitions of the fruit of the Spirit. It's so important. I gave you in the beginning definitions of the lust of the flesh, and you might have crumpled them up and thrown them away. They're not important. They are important, but they're not so much as important as the fruit of the Spirit, right? We got to know our sin, but more than that, we got to know the Spirit, what he can do and overcome those sins in our lives, right? And so thank you. Thank you so much for encouraging me. Every week that I've been up here and came down or whatever, you disencouraged me. You encouraged me that you're getting something out of it. And you know, for a teacher and a preacher, for a pastor, that's like food. That's like nourishment. That's good. And it's thankful. I'm so thankful for that. We have a good church here. I'm thankful that God, Pastor, that God brought us to this church. I'm thankful that we're a part of a family that wants to serve, that wants to learn, you know, and get involved. So with that, let me close in prayer. And then we'll be done. I praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, once again, I'm humbled. I'm humbled at you, Father, how you use people. You use broken people. You use all kinds of different people. I'm so thankful that you do. Lord, I pray that this lesson, all these lessons, this series, the fruit of the Spirit that you put in your word, preserved for us. Paul wrote it. You inspired. It's all about you, Father. That I pray that this will be our lives, that we can live this life, that we can walk in the Spirit, that we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, that you will guide and direct us each and every day. Thank you for the people that are here that have just wanted to be here to grow and learn from you. Thank you for the online audience that's joining every week. Father, just bless them in a special way. I pray that they'll be able to come to church with us and fellowship with us and worship with us, Father, one day. Thank you for our pastor that gives the word, truth untold, without any apologies. Father, just giving it to us that we can grow in Christ and be a strong church for the community. Bless the next service, Father. Be with the pastor as he preaches your word. Be with the ones that are coming. Prepare their hearts. If there's one that's coming today that doesn't know you, Father, I pray something said today will poke their heart, that the Holy Spirit will grab a hold of them and bring them forward for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for loving and caring for our needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.